Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 45, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yavandrikaya ratam atma vashopakalpam dhatte garishta charana chanaya nishatam jnana sim achuta balo dadhad asta shatru svananda tushta upashanta idam vijahyat yavat as long as nrikaya this human form of body, ratham, considered to be a chariot, atmavasha, dependent upon one's own control, upakalpam, in which there are many other subordinate parts, dhatte, one possesses, garishta charana, the lotus feet of the superiors, namely the spiritual master and his predecessors, archanaya, by serving, nishatam, sharpened, jnana asim, the sword or weapon of knowledge, achuta balaha, by the transcendental strength of Krishna, dadhat, holding, asta shatruhu, until the enemy is defeated, sva ananda tushtaha, being fully self-satisfied by transcendental bliss, upashantaha, the consciousness being cleansed of all material contamination. Idam, this body. Vijahyat, one should give up. Verse translation. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. The enemies mentioned above in the previous verse are... I'll read the previous verse. In the conditioned stage, one conceptions of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. All of these are enemies. Sometimes one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. So the purport to this verse by Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam evang yo veti tatvata ha tyagva dehang punar janma naiti mameti surjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 26, 17, Ridehamadyang sulabhang sudurlabham plavang sukalpang guru karnadharam mayanukulena nabhasvateritam puman bhavabdhim natarit saatmaha. This human form of body is a most valuable boat, and the spiritual master is the captain, Guru Karnadharam, to guide the boat in plying across the ocean of nescience. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nescience. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. A significant word here is achuta balaha. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples. And consequently, by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One must first please the spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nescience. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For one thus gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy, and one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of jnana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and its paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated. Brahma Bhuta, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakankshati Samah Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha tatomang tatvato jnatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept a material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada quotes the same verse which he quoted at the beginning of this purport, Janma karma chamedevyam evang yo veti tatvataha tyak vadehang punarajanma naiti mam eti surjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tatvataha, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mang tatvato gyatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, Aruhya kritsrena parang padang tatav patantyadho nadrita yushpad angrayaha. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. Even if one attains the stage of Brahma Padam, merging in Brahman, without bhakti he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with the bona fide spiritual master coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy and instructions, one is able to get strength from Krishna Thus one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Significant in this verse are the words Gyanasim Achyuta Balaha. Gyanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. Brajendra Nandanjay Shati Shuta Hoiloshe. Balaram Ohailo Nitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi jato chilo, harinami udharilo. Their weapon is Sankirtan, harinam. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna and Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. In the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhyo Nacha Pramadat Tapaso Vapyalingat Etayarupa Yair Yatate Yastu Vidvangs Tas Yaisha Atma Vishate Brahmadhama. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitaya karuna hobe braje radha krishna pabe. When one receives the mercy of Balaram, Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Sheshambanda nahija brita janma gelota bida kule ki kori beta. If one has no connection with Nitai, Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar or gyani, or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. Today is not Balaram Jayanti. Really? I got the date wrong? Today is not Balaram Jayanti. Then when is it? There's no such thing as Balaram Jayanti. What happened? Did I become an atheist? I'll tell you. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the term Jayanti is only suitable for Krishna, the original Supreme Personality, the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and not for any other forms of the Lord. Therefore, we should say Balaram Purnima, Nrsingha Chaturdashi, not Nrsingha Jayanti, and definitely not Ambedkar Jayanti, and so many other things. It's a widespread misconception, but it's a misconception. Today is the appearance festival of Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many times when giving talks on this day, I read this verse and translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's very suitable for us being in the material world to be reminded how weak we are, how we need to get spiritual strength, we need help. That is available from Balaram via the agency of the spiritual master. There are so many things we could say on this Balaram Purnima, but this is particularly apt for us in our situation, for us to consider how much we need the mercy of Balaram Nityananda. I often also mention on this day the first class I remember on this day. Well, I remember Balaram Purnima being celebrated in London in Bury Place with a tremendous feast and then going on Harinam and getting arrested by the police. But I also remember that would be 1977 at ISKCON Delhi in Lajpat Nagar. The temple president was Bhagavat Ashray Prabhu, and Satsarup Maharaj came and gave a talk which I've been in thousands of classes, but that this talk struck me. I think it was the first time I ever saw Satsarup Maharaj give a class, and naturally I was impressed by his scholarship and saintly demeanor. And I remember he spoke on this point, quoting that Srila Prabhupada speaks on this point in relation to Balaram, and quoting Nayam Atma Bala Hinena, the verse Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyo, quoting the verse from Mundaka Upanishad, which we just read in the purport here, that this means spiritual strength. We need to get spiritual strength for Balaram. So today in this talk, as a meditation on Balaram, I'm not going to talk hardly, if at all, about Balaram Tattva, the constitutional position of Balaram in relation to Krishna, Balaram as Sankarshan, Balaram as Sankarshan in the original Chaturvyuha. There are so many things can be said, and pastimes of Balaram, but I'm going to, that could be spoken, but I'm going to speak on bringing Balaram's mercy into our life. Today is an appropriate day for considering where we are and where we need to get to. Every day is appropriate, but especially this is a day when we naturally we are to meditate on Balaram, and Srila Prabhupada has in this purport emphasized this from this verse, Achyuta Bala, the strength of the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada has invoked the memory of Balaram. Balaram means very strong and very blissful and pleasing. Bala means strength, and Rama means giving pleasure. So his strength is spiritual. The pleasure that he gives is spiritual. So today is a day which is very appropriate for praying for the mercy of Balaram to get strength for enhancing our spiritual life, upgrading our spiritual life. There are so many things that we could do to enhance our spiritual life, to advance in Krishna consciousness. Advance in Krishna consciousness means come closer and closer to Krishna. Sankarshan is one of the many names, maybe apart from his name Balaram and Baladeva, Sankarshan and Ananta. These two names are very well known in relation to Balaram. Halayudha. There are so many names in relation to Balaram. Madhusevita, GBC in Italy. Srila Prabhupada gave him that name. Not a very well-known name of Balaram. But this Sankarshan means one who attracts, who draws us toward Krishna. Of course, that name was given by Garga Muni for the way Balaram was in the womb of Devaki, but was attracted by Yogamaya to the womb of Rohini. But it also, and also Srila Prabhupada connects that with the name Sankarshan, with what is called, in the present time in scientific circles, gravitational force. But anyway, I'm making the point here that Sankarshan, we can pray, attract me to exert your magnetic force to draw me to Krishna. But some things we have to do ourselves. Balaram gives spiritual strength that is received, as Srila Prabhupada alludes to in this purport, that is received through the agency of the spiritual master, the Vaishnava guru. But guru means who gives instruction, who gives guidance, who gives inspiration, who teaches from scripture. But we have to do our part also. He tells us what we need to do, and we need to do it. So today is the day we can remember to take help from Balaram and think, what can we do to advance more and more in Krishna consciousness? We can chant more. I'll give some suggestions. We could chant more rounds daily. It doesn't only have to be on Ekadashi or in Kartik. Of course, we have to see our schedule and everything, but if we can chant more rounds daily, that will certainly help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. There are things we can do. Recite stotras, such as the prayers in Brahma Sanghita. There are so many prayers. Nityanandashtaka. There are so many prayers that we can recite. Maybe we could recite one a day. We could have a schedule over a month of 30 different prayers, or a week, or the same prayer every day, Brahma Sanghita every day. One thing I particularly, we may not be able to do all of these things, because after all, there are time limits. But we can choose different things we can do. Maybe we're already doing these things, but that's good if we're chanting extra rounds every day or we're reciting stotras every day. But we can always do more, and we can try to do more. One thing I particularly like to do is singing, reading, remembering the prayers of the Vaishnava Acharyas, especially in Bengali. That's something that I find attractive. It's not that everyone has to do exactly the same thing. I've been going through a book giving biographies, mini biographies of many, many, many disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the book is in Bengali. And we see that he gave, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave different titles to his disciples. Apart from their initiated name, he gave them different titles. One I read was Raga Bhushan, because he was, this particular disciple was another Raga Vinoda. These devotees, they were particularly expert in doing kirtan. Raga refers to musical modes. Vidya Bhushan, one who is expert in Vidya Bhushan, Vidya Vinod, those who are very much into scholarly activities. Then Shastra Nipun. Well, that was not a formal title, as far as I know, for Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, for his expertise in understanding the scriptures. And then there's one devotee called, what's his name? Narahari Seva Vigraha, famous devotee in the Gauriya Math. Narahari Seva Vigraha, the very form of service, because he was busy in so many services. Kriti Ratna for Vinod Bihari later. One who is very expert, or no, that was another one, Kriti Kovid. But Kriti Ratna, one who's very expert in performing all various types of complicated services requiring expertise. So like this, I'm just saying that different devotees have different propensities in service. So it's not that everyone has to do all of these things. What we find attraction to, if we have some extra time, make some extra time, make a plan to read Bhagavatam within a year or maybe 2 years. Do it. Learn verses. When I was young in Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, I used to hear I remember Gokulananda used to say that. My godbrother Gokulananda in London used to say, a shloka a day keeps Maya away. It's a play on an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Learn to play mridanga. We need good mridanga players. Srila Prabhupada kept one devotee, Tranakarta. Srila Prabhupada very much liked his mridanga playing and brought him around with him in India for mridanga playing. Just so if you're good, do it. Serve Krishna like that. I don't know what to do. You can volunteer for service in your local temple. Go on book distribution. Go out once a week or make a vow to distribute one book a day. If you're too afraid to try and sell a book to people, you could buy them and give them away. Or make a vow to speak something about Krishna consciousness, the philosophy, the practice, to one new person a day. Even the busiest of us could, well, some of us could find time. We all have the tendency to waste some time doing things which are not very important, taking too long in the bathroom, for instance. Of course, we don't want to become like super jacked up and in complete tension that we're running here and there. Maybe some people have that nature also. We see that Srila Prabhupada, incredible, the amount of things he did after coming to America, particularly from 1966 onwards, relaxed. I was just thinking that Srila Prabhupada had that Bhagavad Gita as it is published in 1968, and he didn't even start. It's such a big book, it's getting 1,000 pages with the index and everything. And he didn't even start to write it until after he came to America, and he was doing so many other things, and it was published in 1968. And it's phenomenal. I mean, I know as a writer that it takes me such a long time to write a book, especially a big book like that. It takes a long time, day after day after day. But Srila Prabhupada was empowered. He was the embodiment of, among other things, avyartha kalatvam, of not wasting time, using all his time in Krishna's service. The first of the nine symptoms of bhava bhakti, mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami. That's another thing, avyartha kalatvam, that we can just, that would be very good if we see that every moment is engaged in Krishna's service. Don't waste any time. And we can practice at least chanting Hare Krishna. When we're doing other things, we're walking here and there, we can practice chanting Hare Krishna. If we're really pressed for time, we can do what Srila Prabhupada suggested for getting more time, sleep less and eat less, if we can get away with it without collapsing the body. These are just some suggestions. These are authorized, means given by the acharyas, given in Shastra, approved ways and proven ways to enhance our Krishna consciousness. This is what we really need to do. And there are so many things we hear, some life coaching and psychology and this and that. But what we really need to do is to practice Krishna consciousness. And if we're really in bad shape psychologically, we may need some specific psychological help. But for most people, for most devotees, what we really need to do is to become more devoted, to apply our mind, man-mana, always think of me, Krishna says, to do the activities which help us to think of Krishna, beginning with rising early, that we should be doing anyway, rising early, attending Mangalarti, we should do that. How can I get up in the morning? Take strength from Balaram. Ask Balaram to wake us up. We can do. He's the super soul in the... We shouldn't ask him for such a small, petty thing. But for us, it's a big thing because we need his help. He comes to this world. We're celebrating his appearance day. He comes to this world to help us. So we can ask him to help us. Please wake me up. He's the super soul within our heart. So we can ask him to let me wake up. And then we have to get ourselves up. He's not going to come and personally pick us up. Balaram, I mentioned, is the guru. Balaram is the first expansion from Krishna. There are so many. Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. There are so many expansions from Krishna. Nanavatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu. There are so many who appear in this world. Beginning with Rama. This means Balarama. Particularly Balarama. So he's the first guru. Well, we can say Krishna's the first guru also. Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. Shankaracharya, praise to him. Thus, Krishna is the first guru in the sense that he says, Mame kam sharanam raja. He teaches Arjuna to surrender to him. But the first guru who teaches surrender to that person, Krishna, who is in the role of a guru in directing others to Krishna and himself being the ideal of service to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes that spiritual master trains his disciples in a service attitude. That's the most important thing. That is devotional service, the service attitude. So, Balarama is the original guru. He comes as Nityananda. And manifests himself in the person of the guru, the gurus, Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktams, in the person of the gurus. Strength, we take strength from guru. That strength, it comes from Krishna, but specifically through the agency of Balaram. It's a very great responsibility, which I, among others, have taken, but that is expected. The student, as Srila Prabhupada said, the student is not expected to remain a student forever. He's supposed to become a teacher. But in another sense, he does remain a student forever before his guru, but he's also expected to teach others. And that was the system in Indian schools until they became westernized, that if the older students, they're learning from the teacher, the guru, upadhyay, or whatever he may be, and he's also deputed by the teacher to teach the younger students. What the older student has already learned, he should teach to the younger students. This also helps him to internalize the knowledge better. And if the younger students have questions, or if the teacher finds they haven't understood it properly, if there are questions, then if the older student is unable to reply, that means he hasn't fully grasped the knowledge, then he goes to the teacher and asks. Or if he teaches it not exactly correctly, the teacher will come to find out. And then in this way, this helps to solidify the knowledge in the senior student by teaching one learns. But it's a very heavy responsibility, and we can do so by taking strength, by taking mercy from Krishna and Balaram. The Ritvik Vadi say that the last guru is Srila Prabhupada, echoes of Sikhism there. There's no one else is to give Diksha. But the essence of Guruship is Siksha, and of Diksha also. Divyam Jnanam Yato Dadyat Purva Papasya Sankshayam. These are the two features of Diksha. One is giving spiritual knowledge by which sinful reactions are destroyed. Jnanagdi dagda karmanam tamahu pandita buddha. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Well, he's actually a learned person whose sinful reactions are burned up by the fire of knowledge. So the essence of guruship is shiksha, giving instruction. I'd said that the one who instructs, who is the principal shiksha guru, usually becomes the diksha guru. There's such a big topic. But if we consider that the essence of diksha is shiksha, then maybe the Ritvik Vadi should stop giving shiksha also. They say no one should give diksha, and then should everyone stop giving shiksha? They give the. Of course, the quality of the teachings is essential in the role of the guru. It should be as it is. That is the role of a guru, to instruct. The role of a guru is not to swallow up as many disciples as he can, just to run around like some kind of computer game, zapping as many people as possible, initiating them. I'm not saying they shouldn't initiate widely. Srila Prabhupada wanted his sannyasis to initiate, he said, more disciples than I did. But it's not a competition to see who can initiate the most, but one should give appropriate instruction as one has received it in the disciplic succession. Of course, the guru can only help to the extent that the disciple responds. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that it's relatively easy to find a sincere guru, but it's much harder to find a sincere disciple. Think about that. So we have to take the knowledge. The guru may be the best guru who ever existed, and all the gurus in our line are the best gurus who ever existed. Who can say there's a better guru than Srila Prabhupada? Who can say there's a better guru than Rupa Goswami? They're all the best. Guru is one. But the guru can only help to the extent that the disciple responds. I've been watching on YouTube some videos which show various exercises. But you can't get the benefit just by watching the video. You actually have to do the exercise yourself to get the benefit. So in the same way, the guru gives instruction, but we have to follow it. Otherwise, we don't get the benefit. It's not just a matter of filling up a sheet of paper and writing your Bhakti Shastra exam, and you understood it. You understood it when we do it. It's not that one can become fit and healthy. You say, oh, I watch so many exercise videos. We have to do it. And in the same way, the idea that you just get some ephemeral kind of, not ephemeral, but what's the word? Vaporous kind of mercy. I'm just not remembering the word. Some ill-defined kind of mercy. And all of a sudden, you become Krishna conscious. We have to do. But we need to take strength also. We can pray for strength to Balaram, because Guru's instructions, they may not be very easy to follow. Not everyone wants a guru. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, if I compromised, I could have so many followers. But he didn't. If we do compromise, we may have many followers. But Srila Prabhupada was so merciful, he didn't compromise. It's not that you compromise and then you make up for the slack by giving extra mercy. The mercy is giving the instruction. Can be hard to follow, no doubt. Therefore, we should test the disciple to see if they can follow. But it's hard when we've been practiced for millions of lifetimes to be away from Krishna. It can be hard to remember Krishna, to even do the activities which we know are required to help us come to Krishna and pray to Balaram for strength. Balaram, please help. We should consider, by the grace of Balaram, by the grace of Guru, Gurus, Vaishnavas, Krishna, we have the opportunity in this life to be fully Krishna conscious. Am I taking it? Am I reciprocating with this mercy? This mercy, yeah, we're praying for the Guru's mercy. We're going to reciprocate, or we're just going to sit there and say, oh, thanks a lot. We have to reciprocate, and then we get more mercy. And then this way we make advancement. So we say, okay, Guru gave me, I got initiated, I got the mercy. Or Guru smiled at me, or Guru gave me a garland, and I got the mercy. But do we reciprocate? Reciprocate by serious service, surrendered service. Am I on the path back to Godhead? Of course, a Vaishnava will never think, I am on the path back to Godhead. But it's easier to understand. Even if we are on the path back to Godhead, we think, I'm not fit to go. That's a Vaishnava. But it should be easy for us to understand if we're not on the path to Godhead, if we're doing things which are going to obstruct us going back to Godhead. As long as we have material attachments, we're not going to go. So we have to resolve, today is a good day to resolve, to give up useless anartas which block. We know they block our spiritual advancement, but still we do. We can overcome with strength from Balaram. And then why don't we? There's no real reason not to. Just we're fools and rascals and everything else. You know all the words which Srila Prabhupada used to say. Yeah, it's a good question. Why don't we become fully Krishna conscious right now? Srila Prabhupada said, we can do it on the spot. We can do it. We don't have to wait. But generally, the process of sadhana bhakti is there, because generally it takes some time. But we should consider, why don't we? We know that Krishna consciousness makes sense philosophically. We've experienced, it's very blissful. There's no reason to not fully surrender to Krishna immediately. Why don't we? Why don't we? The whole material world should be an impetus to become Krishna conscious when we look at it and see what is the condition in the material world. It's full of misery, repeated birth and death, so much suffering. Why don't we surrender to Krishna? Because we're still thinking there's something worthwhile to do in this material world. That's why it's very good also, mostly I suppose the talks on Balaram today will have a lot of pastimes told. It's also very good. One of the very first books that Srila Prabhupada translated was Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, in which there are many pastimes of Balaram. Others are given in Garga Sanhita and other scriptures. So it's very good to hear these pastimes to gain an attraction for going to the spiritual world. But at the same time, we need strength, that attraction. Balaram, praying to Balaram, pull us to Krishna. We have a problem. Why don't we surrender? What is your problem? So many times people come to me and say, I have one problem. And I usually say, you're very lucky. Most people have many problems. Another reply, clever reply, is that, yes, you have one problem, but you don't know what it is. Your problem is Krishna Vismriti, forgetfulness of Krishna. This is a very big problem. It's the main problem in the whole material world. It's not right now in the news, what is there, the coronavirus going on in Afghanistan, this and that. The main problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. That's for everyone, for Afghanis and Russians and living beings in the bodies of pigs and dogs and cats and rats. It's the same problem. Now we have the opportunity. We read in the Srila Prabhupada quoted in the verse I just read, Nrideha Madhyang Sulabang Sudurlabam Plavang Sukalpo Guru Karna Dharam Mayanukulena Nabasvateritam Puman Bhavabdim Nataritsa Atmaha. That we have the human body, which is very suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material life. We have the guru who is the competent captain. We have the instructions of the scripture, which are given by Krishna, which are favorable winds. Having all these facilities, if we don't cross over the ocean of birth and death, then it's just like we're killing ourselves. This is from Shastra. This is spoken by Krishna. It's not fanatical me talking about it. This is our real problem. Krishna kindly gives us, this is his mercy, he gives us the process of sadhana, which is taught to us and exemplified to us by Balaram in the form of guru, the process of sadhana so we can make progress. Because mostly we don't. Why don't we become Krishna conscious fully right now? Well, we don't. So, okay, let's get into it seriously. We shouldn't be so foolish to think that it's a gradual process, so let it be gradual. I'll go slowly. Krishna is very merciful, but we should know Krishna's mercy is the process and we're enjoined to take it very seriously. We can do so. Don't go slowly. Don't go so fast that we trip over our own feet, but the general injunction is tivrena bhakti yogena, intense devotional service. It's not just going to happen by some blessing. It's not that I surrendered, and then when I die, I'll wake up in Vaikuntha. But we won't even like it there if we haven't prepared our consciousness for that. So we have to practice Krishna consciousness also. This idea, you just surrender once, and then you do any damn thing you like. Of course, that's not exactly what's taught, but it shouldn't be taken like that. We should preach. Surrender to Krishna. We're forgetting Krishna. We should tell people. We have so many new ways of preaching in our Krishna consciousness movement. I mentioned life coaching. And basically, this life coaching is how to be happy in this material world. I haven't seen it, but I was told there's some video called Business Yoga, in which it's taking instructions from Bhagavad Gita, how to improve your business. But the whole point of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, is not there, so I'm told. We should learn from Bhagavad Gita that we don't belong in this material world, and that we should preach like that. If we're not ourselves committed to surrendering to Krishna, that will reflect in our preaching. To teach people to be happy in this world piously is not going to help them to become actually Krishna conscious. And preaching that you should be a devotee and be a material success, but this is nonsense. There's no such thing as material success. Well, we can say like that, but it's really verging on oxymoronic. What does it mean to be a success in this material world? Better to be absolutely nothing, neglected, spat on, rejected, and be Krishna conscious than to be and be fully Krishna conscious, as can happen, as we see in the narration of the Avanti Brahmana in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Fully Krishna conscious, but hated by everyone for being Krishna conscious. It's better to be like that than to be a neophyte devotee who's holding on to his material attachments and be very successful in the material world. Actual success, jai bhaje shai bharo. To the extent that we worship Krishna, that is the extent of our success. To teach people how to become happy in this material world, that's already going on. Everyone already thinks that I should enjoy my material life. We have to take strength. It takes some strength, which we can take from Balaram. On this day, we can remember, Gyanasena, wield the sword of knowledge. To speak in such a way, Santa eva shachindanti manovya sangha mukti bihi. The sadhus, those who have taken the role of sadhus, those who are living on public contributions, they should speak with the sword of knowledge to cut people's mental attachments. That is our duty. Otherwise, you can be a householder devotee and contribute. But a sadhu, he's supposed to speak with strength. And it's difficult because one becomes unpopular. But our aim is to become popular with Krishna, not popular with the masses. That's our whole disease, which again, we're trying to be happy in the material world. We're trying to make people like us. But we're in the material world because of this, because we're trying to become liked by materialistic people. That kind of preaching, where we can bring many people in, no doubt, by preaching something that appeals to them. Not that we have to present Krishna consciousness in a particularly unpalatable way, but we have to tell people that this material world is miserable. We have to surrender to Krishna by the grace of Balaram. We can bring many people in. There are already so many big gurus with so many followers. We're not in competition with them. They're not connected with Krishna and Balaram. They're in Maya, although they have a semblance of being a saint. Actually, to surrender to Krishna and Balaram requires strength of mind, strength of purpose. Otherwise, it's very easy to become semi-devotee, semi popular figure, public figure, dance to the tune of the masses, what they like to hear in the name of preaching. The guru should represent what is in Shastra. He's supposed to speak. When he says that the guru gives knowledge, that means according to Shastra. If the guru doesn't represent Balaram, if he doesn't represent the message of the Acharyas, then he's fit to be killed by Balaram, which Balaram did with Roma Harshana Sutta, who was in the role of a guru, but he didn't properly respect the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we go in the public and speak Bhagavad Gita, or speak something which is not, which is supposed to be spiritual, but which doesn't actually represent or even introduce Krishna, or even the philosophy spoken by Krishna about how this material world is miserable, at the very least we could do that, then we're not representing Balaram, who killed Roma Harshana, which was really an extreme thing to do. It might seem like that, but by doing so, we can see that Roma Harshana taken the position sitting on the Vyasasan, but he was envious of Balaram. He wanted to be respected by the others, but he didn't respect Balaram. Therefore, bogus. So you have to take strength. It's not easy even to follow all the rules, what to preach to others about following all this. So we may preach, well, you don't need to follow all the rules. But the rules are meant to help us get out of Maya. We should consider all this. I may speak on more about this. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Yes, but we can't be happy as long as we're holding on to the material world. So let us take strength from Balaram. Remember what is our situation in this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts it very nicely. I'm saying I like to sing Bengali songs. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's given so many songs, so much instruction. Here's a line from one of them. Shangshara tatani shrut nahi shesha marana nikote ghar. He says that the waves of material life, they never come to an end. And my next death, terrible death, is coming very close. So we like to hear nice stories of Balaram, but they're meant to be instructive also. We need instruction. We need to be guided. We need to take strength from Balaram. So that's the thrust of what I'm speaking today. Let us on this day invoke the presence of Balaram. Remember Balaram. It's not just an occasion for having a feast and drinking lots of honey nectar. That was a great treat in England when I joined there. I remember from that first feast I ever attended, Berry Place, 1975. The big attraction was yogurt mixed with honey. Highly intoxicating. So that was the big treat. But that's there, yes, but that's not all what it's about. Bliss, yes, but the bliss doesn't come from thinking I am the enjoyer. Madhu Sevita. Balaram is the one who is served with honey. We may do so respectfully as his servant. Brahmacharis especially be careful. All devotees are supposed to be brahmacharis, including grihasthas. It's not a path of enjoyment for ourselves. It's a path of enjoyment for Krishna. And that's why Balaram is the original guru, because he teaches us how to serve Krishna, everything for Krishna. He also has his own individual personality, which we see. He disagreed with Krishna. Not exactly disagreed, but he didn't fully agree, let's put it like that, in the matter of the... Well, it's more complex than that. Balaram didn't join the battle of Kurukshetra because he didn't want to go against either side. He knew Krishna was favoring the Pandavas, and he also loved the Pandavas, Balaram. But Balaram also had a soft spot for Duryodhana. That's another name for Balaram, Duryodhana Guru. So he didn't involve in the fighting at all. So he may seem to be individualistic apart from Krishna. And we see that again in Nityananda. When he comes as Nityananda, he appears to be somewhat different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and sometimes does things which apparently annoy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's all for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a unique individual Balaram can be very hot-headed, can be angry when people don't want to surrender to Krishna. He can, or if they misuse their position in this material world, can be very hot. At the same time, he's very good in sandhi, in making, in repairing rifts between people. He's very good in conciliation. In some ways might just seem to be a simple person, but actually very deep. Bhima also might seem to be very simple. Bhima of the Pandavas. He's depicted as some kind of glutton who's always ready for a fight. And that's a superficial view. He's a very deep personality. He came again as Madhvacharya. He's no fool. Madhva must be the greatest. Well, Srila Prabhupada said Jiva Goswami is the greatest philosopher. But Madhvacharya, his philosophy is really undefeatable. The best in terms of, if you're going to talk Vedanta philosophy and debate and all these things, Madhva's on top, there's no doubt about it. So, well, others may doubt it, but then let them go and debate with the Madhvas and then let them see. So, Hare Krishna, I'll finish this talk here. I was given a 2-hour slot, but just 1 hour. Hare Krishna. All glories to Lord Balaram. Balaram gives strength. I'm feeling as the body gets older, the strength is, physical strength is ebbing away. I see there are two elderly men living in the ashram where I'm staying now at ISKCON Vellore. One of them's over 80 years old. He has such strength. He's doing physical work. Both of them are strong. They're up every morning for Mangalarti. I do that also. And physically strong. One is doing, looking after the garden and carries some heavy things. So, when we see strength, balang balavatang cha hum. Remember Balaram. Remember even physical strength. We need not be enamored by some physically strong person, some weightlifter or whatever. Be enamored, charmed by Balaram, who is very beautiful, very strong, very beautiful also. That's also stated. That's one of the special features of Balaram. Different forms of the Lord, they are particularly known for particular qualities. Krishna is known for them all, but Balaram is particularly known for his beauty. Very strong and very beautiful. That's Balaram. So many wonderful pastimes of Lord Balaram. So let us pray to him for strength. To be strong on the path of devotion to Krishna, and let us do our bit. Let us be very serious, take up Krishna consciousness more and more and more in our life, and pray to Balaram for help, especially on this day. It's not a day only for drinking honey nectar drink, but it's that should be there. Offer it to Balaram. We can take, but especially it is a day for introspection, seeing where we are at on the path of Krishna consciousness, and praying to Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava for strength to progress. Balaram is Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava, all in one. Jai Sri Balaram.